Blog Talk Radio.
I got a guest tonight. You were listening last week. I told you about it. Tonight's guest is singer-songwriter Terry Tobin, who has a sophomore project out called So Good to Me, and she'll be here to talk about that. We'll play some tracks, you know, kick it. You know how I do. But anyway, she'll be in around the 10:30 mark. So go ahead and kick back.
Hollywood music.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Right on.
You want to
my mind constantly.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just going to let it be for myself. Please help me welcome to the Total Justice Radio Show, Keith Perry.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You're having a good day. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I actually have a phone. Hold on a second. I'm getting a message saying I can't be heard. I'm going to talk to
Yeah, I'm here. I can barely hear you, but I'm here.
Okay. I think maybe that's, yeah. Is that better?
There we go.
Okay, yeah. My mic was turned down. Ain't that something? That means nobody heard my first, you know, my intro. Nobody heard anything that I said prior to
Right now.
Right, so I can't imagine what that's going to sound like when people play that in the archives.
Right, but it's all good. We're here now.
For sure, for sure. So, yes, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time out on your Friday to come hang with me.
Hey, glad to be back.
True, true. It's been a long time.
It has been. That year went by fast, though, I have to say.
Yeah, I can imagine with all the stuff you got going on, singing national anthems at games, got
yeah.
a new album out. Yeah, you've been doing a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the momentum going, you know?
I can dig it.
Keep it going.
Yeah, but before we get into the new stuff, I want to give the folks that may not have heard of you, which by now I can't really believe that's the case, but I'm sure there's somebody out there with their head under a rock or something. So, you know, if you could just give us a little insight as to, you know, who you are and, you know, how it is that you decided to become an artist?
Well, I'm Arizona-born soul artist, as I can call myself. Like most people, I started in the church, and from there I sing in community choirs and stuff like that, and because of that I was able to sing background for Jeffrey Osborne, probably about 10 or 11 years old, and that was pretty much my first, you know, real professional gig, and that kind of, once I got bit, it was a wrap. So I've been doing it ever since in some capacity, be it demos or singing background for folks. When I went to Howard, I sang in the chorale there. We had the opportunity to sing for President Clinton's inaugural concert, and so that also gave me opportunities to sing behind Diana Ross and share the stage with Luther, and, you know, it's just the list is endless for all the people that we got the opportunity to share the stage with. So I've been doing it ever since. I've worked with major labels before, you know, in different capacities, and, you know, as time went on, I decided I wanted to do my own thing. You know, working with different labels, they kind of want you to be the next so-and-so, and I decided the only way I was going to be able to be me is to put me out. So basically, I created my company, Soulscape Entertainment, released my first formal album. I've done other stuff, but this was the first formal one that I put out to the masses, March of 2011. And 2011 was a great year. I couldn't have written it any better. And so I, you know, just wanted to be able to do what I love to do, and I'm still doing it.
That's what's up. Now, I must ask, as a fan, I must ask before we actually do get into the new stuff, what was it like working with Luther? Like, I can only imagine, like, you know, you had to be
honestly,
for an artist.
Yeah, I didn't get any one-on-one time with him. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'd forgotten about another story. The whole Luther thing, the performance piece of it, you know, it was a gazillion people on stage. We had, like, this grand finale. Everybody was there, and, like, during rehearsals in the green room, you know, we're standing around with Luther and Shy, and, you know, they're doing impromptu songs, and, you know, I'm just, like, I'm sitting there with my mouth open the whole time, you know, never really having any one-on-one interaction with him, and really like a groupie, you know, because I grew up listening to his music and singing duets with him, even though he didn't know it. You know, I've always loved Luther. And matter of fact, Luther was my very first concert that I went to. As a kid, my mom, you know, she made sacrifices so I could go to different concerts. And I'll never forget, Luther had just come out, and I went to my very first concert. But the other story I was going to tell you about Luther is when I lived in D.C., when I was at Howard, I worked at a restaurant. I was a maitre d', and Luther rented out the entire restaurant to kind of honor radio stations, all the media people. And so I had the opportunity to spend some time with him then. Of course, you know, everybody kept saying, well, how come you didn't tell him you can sing? And how come you didn't remind him of, you know, whatever? And I've just never been that kind of person. Particularly if they're coming to the restaurant, and that's partly why I had the job, because even if I wanted to be a groupie, I really couldn't, you know.
Right.
So anyway, but I had an opportunity to meet with him. He's such a, you know, beautiful spirit, and, you know, all the staff took a picture with him and everything. And so, you know, of course, it's still sad when I think about, you know, him being gone and, you know, all the greats that are, you know, slowly dying off, you know, and it's... you know, it's kind of hard to even listen to Whitney songs, you know, after this last year. So,
you know what? I'll be honest with you. Like that day, when you know they had the funeral, was the last time I listened to a Whitney Houston song. Like I can't do it.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
rough. Can't do it.
It's really rough. I had a show in Harlem the night, you know, the day of her funeral, and, you know, of course, I live on the West Coast, but I'm like, man, I'm this close, maybe I should make my way down there, but, you know, I had so much to do for my show,
and from getting my makeup done, and of course it's on every channel, the memorial service. And at first I thought I could watch it, you know, and finally I had to tell him to turn it off because I was going to mess up all the makeup that he was putting on. And I just had to remove myself from that because that was very, you know, as a singer, we all grew up wanting to be like her, wanting to achieve what she achieved. Every time I sang the national anthem, I thought of her, you know. And so it's and then in high school, every single Whitney Houston song, I can't even tell you, I've probably sung every song she's ever done, just in high school alone. And so, you know, it was very heartbreaking. It was really, really heartbreaking. As a matter of fact, I didn't watch the news that whole week. Like once I was confirmed that she actually had passed, I didn't watch the news at all because I just wasn't ready. Wasn't ready for it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine. I mean, just from, you know, a fan point of view, I just can't do it. And, you know, I keep her music in rotation, you know, but, like, I just can't do it. I can't get myself to listen to it. But, yeah, you know, let's move forward before I start getting emotional and stuff.
Can't you and me that. Both.
Right.
You and me both.
Right. So, yes, you have a new album out, recently released. It's called So Good to Me. And, I hear that there's a kind of like a sophomore jinx kind of thing that happens with entertainers. I mean, did you experience anything like that?
Well, you know, honestly, I can't even really say that I have. I can't even say, you know, there was always discussions like, you know, do you feel, you know, concerned about putting out this next record? Are you, you know, and the way I handle it, you know, my blueprint for all these things that I do, I just do what feels good to me, which is where, you know, part of the title came from, was, you know, I can't be concerned about what's expected. I can't be concerned about, you know, this group of people want you to do this kind of music. And, you know, I just did what felt good to me. And so I kind of went into it not knowing what was going to happen, and so far things have been good, you know. But, you know, like I say, you know, like I had an experience in Atlanta last year where I had a fan come to a conference I was at because I tweeted that I was there, and he happened to work around the corner from where I was, and he came, and, you know, I had no idea Avery Sunshine was there, one of the panelists, and he gets up to sing one of her songs. And we're all just kind of like, wow, you know, that's dedication. Of course, he's not a singer, but, you know, he wanted to show her how much he loved her by singing one of her songs. And so then he turns to me and he's like, oh, and Terry Tobin, I know your song too. And he starts singing Free, my song from Love Infinity. And it was that moment that reminded me of why I still do this. Like, even if the album only reaches three people, you know what I mean? It was meant for those three people. So, you know, going into this project, I didn't really think about, you know, am I going to get any accolades or anything like that. It was just, you know, I do it for those three people that it was meant for. So,
I can dig it. Now, do you I guess what I want to ask is, you know, because I listen to both albums, and at least to me, there is a difference, like, in mm-hmm. the vibe. Now, was that something you were going for? Like, I mean, does that even make sense, what I'm asking? Like,
no, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. You know, my whole thing, even though I say what felt good to me, what I didn't want it to be was a continuation from the previous record, because what I really wanted to show, because keep in mind, that album, the majority of that album was done, it took me 10 years to complete it. So, in that time, you know, I've had some growth vocally, I've had some growth, you know, spiritually and otherwise. And so the one thing that I wanted to show was, you know, was growth. And, you know, the majority of my first album was ballads and, you know, myths and, you know, so this time around it really surprised me that I ended up with mostly grooves and mostly mid-tempos because, you know, my natural inclination is to do a ballad, you know. But you know, when it came time to, like, narrow down the songs, I chose the ones that were on there just because they felt, you know, felt good to me. So yes, it is very different, and for some people, they're maybe not used to hearing me that way. But, you know, like I said, one of the things that I really wanted to do was to show that, you know, I'm not just, I'm actually a singer. I'm more than just, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but
I'm waiting for you to get the word out because I really want to know.
I know
because
I really can't think of a way. But I will say this. I'm just gonna put it out there. With the last album, of course, people felt it to, you know, a certain degree. But I also think that people kind of discredited me as whether I was a real singer or not. Whether it was, you know, there was no auto-tune, but, you know, I'd heard that people thought perhaps I wasn't really a singer. And I kind of felt like I had something to prove with the second project because, you know, I've studied like the rest of them. I've been in the trenches, you know, like the rest of them. And, you know, just wanted to show that I definitely, you know, I can go with the best of them. So that was my goal.
I can't imagine who would possibly think that. I really can't. I don't know. This must be one of the people that's under the rock, because I don't understand that. I really don't understand that.
Oh my goodness.
Like,
what
are they listening to? It's clearly not your songs. Wow.
Well, let me just keep it real. So, one of the problems that I personally, because I'm very critical of my own stuff, I'm just going to put it out there, and most of us creative people really are. And the one thing that I felt that was missing on the first project was that it didn't have dynamics. In other words, it stayed in that pocket, and it was cool because you listened to it from beginning to end, and it was flowing and all that, but I felt like there could have been some more gusto to some of the stuff that I did. And so when I do it live, of course, I make sure that gusto was there. But what was recorded wasn't necessarily what I bring live. And that's really, I guess, the best way I can describe it is that, you know, on this new project, I wanted to kind of give a little bit of what I give live on the album. So that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, but even then I wouldn't necessarily say, I mean, I wouldn't have the opinion that these people have. It's just like, I mean, I can imagine it just kind of happens like that sometimes. You know, you got time constraints. You know,
yeah.
A lot of things go into putting together a project. So I just think people need to understand that. And anyone who can make a statement like that really doesn't understand, you know, or at least they're not even trying to understand, you know, what it is that you have to go through as an artist. I mean, it's just, they just think, okay, I hear this. You know, this is how it sounds, and I don't like it, or, you know, it's not what I expected.
Right. And the thing is I know my music is not for everyone. You know, that's
right.
Why I give the example of the three people. I mean, I'm being facetious with that, but the reality is, you know, everybody's not going to dig it. And so I just do it, and those that it grabs, you know, that it reaches is who I believe it was meant to reach. And there are songs that I do that my own mother doesn't like, you know, and she doesn't make any bones about it. You know, she still loves me and still loves the fact that I sing, but there's just some stuff she doesn't like. And so I'm okay with that because, you know, it is what it is. But you know, I don't mean to come off like, you know, Love Infinity wasn't supportive, because it absolutely was. I mean, for me to be, you know, nominated for a SoulTracks.com award, and, you know, just recently found out that, you know, I was, my album was as R&B album for the Independent Music Awards. I mean, things like that, like, you know, it's shocking to me sometimes because I'm like, wow, you know, there are people that actually appreciate it. And just like you were saying, there are people that are just now getting to know me and just hearing Love Infinity, let alone, you know, knowing that I have this new project. So, you know, I'm one of those that thinks that, you know, it's not necessarily about how I get the fastest that I can get there. It's about the pace that I'm keeping, you know, to build the momentum. And when, you know, when the time comes and, you know, maybe I'm on a bigger stage, then it's when I'm supposed to be, as opposed to saying, gosh, how come, you know, how come I don't have more people that are aware of me or whatever. But, you know, I'm just, you know, I just do what I do, and as long as I continue to love it, I will continue to do it. So.
Understandably. Yeah. Understandably.
Yeah. So, and I have to, I'm sorry to turn the tables on you, but have you heard the whole project?
I have. I actually, when I first received it, I didn't listen to the whole thing because I was just, what I do is I scan and I find something that fits
right
into the rotation. But
right
when I was prepping for this interview, I listened to the whole thing. And, yeah, that's how I realized the difference. It's like I couldn't quite put my finger on it, so I'm glad, you know, you explained it. I just knew that
right
there was a difference. But,
right,
yeah, you sound like you're about to ask me something. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, you know, do you have a favorite?
Oh, of course. Of course, I have two. And I'm going to play them both tonight.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I have two.
All right, cool. I'm curious to see which ones they are. Because everybody seems to have their, and that's why I asked the question, because everybody seems to have their favorite. Same thing with the last album. You know, people would say, well, what's the new single? Well, you know, whatever song you want to play. Because it got to the point where, you know, in the UK they were playing these two songs, and here they are playing these. So I just, you know, yeah, I release songs like Love Me is, you know, a single that's out, but, you know, there are other songs on the album that get a lot of airplay.
That's actually one of them. That's one of my two favorites.
Okay.
And, yeah. I mean, I like the vibe. I just like the whole vibe to that. It's like a, you know, it's like it's that mid-tempo, but it's got a smooth vibe to it. It's got a, like a sexy vibe to it. It's a
yeah
dance track. It's like all of that wrapped up in one.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, that's what we were trying to, that's what we were going for.
But this song that I'm about to play, this song right here, this one, that's all I'm going to say.
It's somehow, I know which one this is.
I'm pretty sure you do. So why don't you just go ahead and give me the background, and then I'll play it.
Well, if it's the one that I'm thinking, considering how you felt about the certain song on the last album.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you feel me. You know where I'm going.
I know exactly where you're going. You know, I don't, the bottom line is this, you know, Love Infinity was written, you know, as a pre, kind of like putting it out there what I was looking for. And, you know, you put it out there, it comes back. So, you know, love came back and I was inspired, that's all I could say.
Yeah.
So, so I mean, that's it.
No.
So, it's self-explanatory.
Yeah. So let me just go ahead and play it then, because I want to see if I'm right or if you're right. I'll just go ahead and play it, and then I'll know for sure when we come back, because
okay.
Yeah, this one right here.
Hey, I got something to show you. I can't keep it to myself. Something you can feel, boy. Oh, awake all night. Tell me if you're down. Ooh. And you won't know what hit you, baby. Because
she got that. That was the first thing that came out of my mind. Like, yeah, she got that. Like, she asked, could she get that? And then she got
it. I asked, could I get it? And then I got it.
And then you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I had to do something, you know, for the grown folks. You know, I mean, you know, again, my natural inclination is to probably do an entire album like that. But, you know, I wanted to kind of, wanted to be a little more versatile. So a little bit of everything. So, but yeah, I knew that that would be the one that you would.
Of course you did. Because you know me. Like that. As soon as I heard it, I was like, that's just
right
not
up
right.
your alley.
Right. It's like that's not even right. It's like that's just not even right. But you know what though? To me, you know, and I told you before, like. Any singer like that really, you know, has any type of, well, I don't want to say like they're not talented if they don't, but to me, like, you know, you got to be able to pull off a slow jam, like for me to be able to say, you know, yeah, that's that, like you just got to, because to me it shows, one, you know, You can put yourself, because I think, and I don't, you know, I don't sing, so I can't really speak from your point of view, but I think, like, you have to put yourself in a certain mindset to be able to even do it. So, like, I don't believe you can just, you know, just walk in the studio, like, especially, you know, if you're recording, like, during the day or something, like, when the vibe's not even where you're supposed to be. Like, you got to be able to channel that. And do what you got to do to get that out there. And another thing that it shows me is that, like, you know, you just, your life, you've had something like that happen to you in your life, like some type of experience like that, you know. And
well, actually, no, I actually read about it in a book. I've never actually.
Not that 50 Shades of Grey, was it?
No. But honestly, I do have, I mean, the last album, I had a vivid imagination. So, you know, some of which, you know, life imitates art sometimes. And, But yeah, I mean, shout out to Justin James, because, you know, that was the song that, you know, we, I mean, it just clicked immediately. And so it's okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's. Because I could spend the rest of the whole interview just on that song alone. But, yeah, let's just move
yes,
on.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, it kind of goes back. Like I said, it wanted to be a continuation from the last album, but I did want to continue on this album to still talk about empowerment and, you know, women saying what it is that they want. I mean, you know, I say it all the time, men are not mind readers, and, you know, in order to have a healthy relationship, you got to be able to say what it is that you need in order for them to meet that need. So
right.
That's my spill for the night.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I wanted to ask you about, you know, you performing the Star Spangled Banner. Like, how does that happen for an artist? Like, do they call you? Like, do you have to audition? Like, what is that?
Well, you know, before my album came out, I had auditioned kind of on a whim, actually. I wasn't going to audition because, you know, I've done all the cattle calls before, and I was like, I don't know if I really want to wait in line. I don't know if I really want to do this. But, you know, I hadn't really been doing a lot of music and hadn't really done what I felt was enough for me, because for me, performing and singing is breathing for me. So one of my close friends says, you know, they're auditioning down there, and it literally was the same day. She told me what's happening. I just got my son out of school, and we went down there, and I auditioned. And they, you know, they called me and said they wanted me to sing. And initially they wanted me to do the WNBA, which is where I started. And so I started there, and then they graduated to, you know, the Suns, I've sung for the Suns a couple of times. And then that also, you know, got me involved with singing for the U.S. Open. PGA, and
really?
You know, I've done a lot of, you know, some local stuff with, you know, with that, and, you know, I've been doing national anthems since high school, you know, so it's all the sporting events when I was in school and all of that, so I was already prepared to do it. I just honestly didn't think that I would have the opportunities like I have had to do it on such a large scale, so I'm just feeling honored to be able to do that.
Now, do you have a way that you sing it, like, you know, regularly, or do you just kind of go with the flow and it sounds different often? Like,
you know, sometimes I have a blueprint, but sometimes depending on how I'm feeling that day, I might do something a little different. I mean, it's still very much, still very close to even my arrangement that I did in high school, actually. But there's still, you know, some things that I've added, some, you know, some twists and turns. But one of the things that I think the reason that perhaps I've been hired to do it is because, you know, there's always jokes where people sing the national anthem and they sing it for like 3 minutes or 5 minutes, and you keep adding all these runs and you do all these things. And I got accustomed to singing it within the required time, because, you know, when you're singing for like for games, and they got to make sure that it fits within that commercial break. So that's one of the things that I think also helps, is that, you know, I'm able to put my spin on it. I'm able to do it as Terry Tobin would do it, but I'm also able to keep it within the time frame that they want it. So, but, yeah, I mean, I would encourage anybody that's listening, if they're interested in doing that, you know, pay close attention to the local teams. And they always have, like, a national or, you know, a public announcement that they're going to do the audition. And, you know, once you do it once and you've impressed them the first time, they most times they will call you back. And at least been my experience. So.
Now, I'm pretty sure what your answer would be to this, but I'm gonna ask anyway.
Okay.
Who sings your favorite version? Like, if you know, for you to listen to as a music fan.
Hands down, you know, it's Whitney Houston. I mean,
you know, I knew you were going to say that, but
yes,
personally,
I mean,
I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I'm going to have to.
Well,
as much as I
there
love
there was
that
one
person,
recently, but go ahead.
Marvin Gaye. Like,
well, that was my second one. Gaye was my second one.
To me, like, his version of the national anthem is the Negro spiritual anthem. Like, that's
true. It's so true.
That is
That's so true. He did. Nobody's done this, the national anthem as cool as he did ever.
Exactly. It's like, really? I mean, he got the color guard with the drums, and I love them drums.
Right.
Like, color. I love them drums. So if you can approach that, and then the way he did it, I mean, that's too smooth. But
yeah, it's definitely memorable. But actually, now I think about it, somebody did it recently. Who was it? I can't remember who it was, but. I mean, to me, it still doesn't replace Whitney, but it was still very, very impressive. But, yeah, no, Whitney, and it's something about Whitney's version, that it's not just because vocally it was perfect, but it's just something about the spirit. It was, you know, she had on her red, white, and blue, and, you know, she was going in for her country.
That's what it was a Super Bowl. And see, and a lot of people don't realize, My Redskins, that was the Super Bowl. That was our last Super Bowl.
Really? And that was the Redskins?
It was the Redskins and the Broncos. Like,
wow.
And that's I have that on tape.
Wow.
Every time I get nostalgic and I want to watch that, you know, I pull that out. And it's just like, there it is. And she's singing it. But I wanted to say that Whitney's version brought me to tears. It brought me to tears because it's, and it wasn't, like you said, I mean, like, the way she sings it is perfect. But for anybody else to try to sing it like she sing it, they would have to put so much effort into it. She's just singing it like she's talking to you. And, like, you could tell, like, she's not even trying. And she's not changing. And it's just like, and she's just looking around at the crowd and smiling. Like, who can, like, you know... You know, like, she's literally, like, smiling, like, from ear to ear while she's singing, and it's like,
wow. Like, it's not even work for her. She's just...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, like, when she does put in work. Like, what is it? I mean, she could probably, like, I don't know. She could probably make somebody change religions. If she really wanted to. But I digress. But I was going to say, before I want to play another track. I was going to say the last time that I heard the Star Spangled Banner live was at a Redskins game, and it was one of the cheerleaders. And I'm not going to lie, like, I was shocked. You know, I'm sitting there, you know, and me, I'm a real critic of the national anthem because I've heard some real bad versions. And it's like, I'm looking at this, like, oh, this cheerleader's about to sing. And, you know, I'm not really thinking. Until she opened her mouth and started singing, and I was floored. I was like, and I'm tapping my cousin like, do you see that? He doesn't care because he's just waiting for the game. And I'm like, dude, she is giving it up for the national anthem. I mean, like, she literally got a standing ovation from the entire team. And I was impressed, and, you know, and it for the national anthem, like I said, because I've just heard so many bad versions, and I've heard okay versions. But when you hear a good version, I mean, like, one that you don't mind listening to, it's something special.
Well, you know, it's a hard song to sing. You know, it's definitely not an easy song to sing. And, you know, and honestly, I didn't, because I've been singing it so long, I didn't realize how difficult it was until I picked it apart, until I was actually watching auditions once. And I'm like, wow. You know, I never really paid attention because it's just, I've been doing it for so long. But, yeah, it's a very difficult song to do. It is. So, you know, anybody that goes up there has the courage to at least try, you know, I give it to them. Doesn't mean everybody should sing it, i.e. Roseanne Barr. But, you know, I think, but, you know, I give them an A for effort, that's for sure.
Oh, before I forget, I just happened to glance into the chat room, and your friend Morris Allen is in the chat room. He said, sang Terry, and I don't know if I want to repeat that last one, but, you know.
What did he? I'm so scared to find out what he.
Because,
you know, Morris Allen is the guy who did the duet with me on my first single.
Yes.
And he's a mess. So I'm curious to see what he said.
I can tell by what he just said here. You know, because I'll just put it this way. Like, if I was to have said that, like, on this interview, I could probably get sued. So, like, you know.
You don't even have to say anymore. I already know.
You know, it's not tasteless, But yeah,
I know, but it's Morris. But it's Morris, and so I already know. And when I get done with you, I'm definitely gonna call him. Oh gosh! But no, that's my boy, Morris Allen. He definitely blessed me with that single. So good to me.
He said he's gonna text it to you later.
He said what?
He's gonna text it to you later. What he said.
Mm-hmm. I bet he will. Something else. But yeah, so, you know, I was really happy that he did that song with me. And, you know, that was really the first time that, look, the song was written a while ago, but it was the very first time that I actually sang a song in real time about love, like being real in my life and all of that. So it was an emotional, recording. Because it just hit me as I was recording it, like, wow, this is amazing. Like before, like I said, I have a vivid imagination. So the last album, I was just kind of hoping that's how I'd feel, you know. But
right,
yeah, beautiful thing.
And you know what? I mean, this is the perfect segue. I'll just go ahead and play that track. That wasn't the one I was going to play next, but I mean, since it's the perfect segue, so we'll just go ahead and play that. And
okay.
We can talk a little bit more about that when we get back. And
okay.
You are listening out there, folks, to the Soul Sessions Radio Show with me and my guest, Terry Tobin. And this is So Good to Me, featuring Mr. Morris Allen. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
This could be the one. You always showed respect for me. First my friend and now my only one. And just when I had almost given up, you came and then you changed my life. And I just want the world to know you're the best thing in my life. You fill me up each day. You're in every breath I take. And I can tell you just why. You're so good to me. You give me what I need. With a passion warm and sweet, and I can tell you just why you're so good to me.
From the very day we met, always been right there for me, no matter what the circumstance. You always got the remedy. And even when I'm feeling down, you say maybe it'll be alright. And I just gotta let you know, girl, you're the best thing in my life. Oh,
Terry.
Yes, sir.
I have a surprise for you.
What?
Surprise? Could you let her know what the surprise is?
You give me what I need, yeah. With a passion, woman, sweet, and I can't tell you just why you're so good to me. Yeah.
You are gonna make me throw my shoe at you.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, Terry. That's my baby. Take care of her.
What's up, baby? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I saw you guys were on, and I was like, let me show my support. Anything you do, you know I got to support you.
I know. It's a shame I haven't seen you, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, you know I'm working and trying to finish up this album, so you know how that is.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know. So can I get like a ooh or an ah on your record? I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm going to call you on that.
Okay. All right.
I'm calling you on that next week. Yeah, I'm setting that up right now.
All right, sweetie.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thank
You're
you so,
so
much.
Welcome.
And
thank you. I
just heard that song
you.
And got chills all over again. I did.
I was almost in tears sitting there.
So tell me, I mean, now that I have both of you here, like, I mean, what was it like? Like, you know, working together, how'd you guys come together? Like, I mean, just tell me everything.
Well, Terry, I met Terry, oh, God, I believe it was at Doc's place.
It was
at
Doc's place.
It was at Doc's place, and I think we were doing a benefit or something, and Terry got up and sang. I had never met her. She got up and sang, and it took everything in me not to throw my shoe at her. Because she was killing from the moment she got on the mic, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if Jesus came in the room or what, but that girl went in. She went in. The Lord met her at the gate, and she went in.
Wow.
So I have a whole circle of friends that I know that sings and does background vocal stuff for me and things of that nature. We're just going off about her. And long story short, we had talked, and I told her I was an admirer, and the more I kept hearing about her and hearing different things, and then she dropped Love Infinity, and I was loving that, and then she asked me to actually sit in on that album situation where she actually did a concert up at the Compound Grill earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the task of getting background vocalists together and doing the arrangements for her, doing background vocals for her for that show. And just through the process of that, Terry and I got really, really close as friends. And, you know, just she's heard my situation. She sat with me through my tears. I've sat with her through her little moments and things of that nature. And it just formed a bond. And as independent artists, or even as an artist, I'm one person that believes in unity. We can't get by or do things that we need to do by ourselves.
You're so right on that.
And I need to see more of people, even within the independent structure as well as major artists. I want to see people, you know, encouraging. You ain't never seen, when we was coming up, you never seen Gerald Levert having a beef with Luther Vandross.
Right.
Not never. So it's like, why will we be beefing over who could do this the best, who could do that the best? God has gifted all of us with gifts that are different and unique, but they do the same thing. They're to encourage, they're to inspire, they're to uplift. And I'm telling you, I don't say this because she's on the radio and because a lot of people are listening, but Terry knows how I feel about her. Terry has always been an encouragement to me. She's always been an uplifting person to me, even when stuff was at its worst. And just as a person, as a singer, as a writer, as a mother, as a friend, she's just been one of the most incredible people that God has put in my path. Because I wasn't even going to do being an artist. But I kept getting pushed and put in that direction. And she's always been an encouragement of what to do, what not to do, what to look for, what not to look for, or what not to, you know, put your hands on and different things of that nature. So I told her, I said, I don't care what you do. You always got me in your corner. If you need me to do a ooh or ah, I'm there. If you just need me to just stand there and clap and support, I'm there. Because I would want somebody to do that for me. And you would see a lot more artistry. You would see a lot more sincerity, you would see a lot more things happening within the music industry if we had that mindset. But everybody's out for, I mean, everybody's out for money and what works for right now. They're out for themselves, and you can't expect to get even what God asked for you. I don't care what it is when you try to do everything for self, because what you're doing, the gift that you have, tell people a gift definition is something that's given. It's not something that's coveted. It's not something that you hold on to. You give that, and you give that with the effort of inspiring somebody to do the very same thing you're doing. And it causes everybody to be in a place that's a lot better than where they are right now. So, Terry, I tell her this right now. I love you. You have been one of the best gifts ever given to me in life. And you know that no matter what you do, no matter where you go, I got your back. I don't care if you blow up and you got 100 million records sold. I'm still there in your corner cheering.
Aw, you're going to make me cry.
You're going to make me cry.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Morris, you know how I feel about you, and you are Johnny on the spot when I need you. And, you know, but like what he says is so true that, I mean, even within our community here, you know, there's not the unification that you think it would be. And so, you know, we try to lead by example. And we have a circle of friends that, you know, the Center of Freedom, shout out to Kevin and James and,
yeah,
and parents, you know, we just all in the same circle, and we believe in helping each other, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it'd be nice if the circle got bigger. But for now, you know, we just do what we do. And, you know, I appreciate the people that appreciate me, and that's really what it boils down to. And Morris, I did get your text, and I do know what you said. And you can say all the nice things you want to say. I already know what you said, so when we get offline, I got some words for you.
Wow.
You know I still all love, baby. You know I love you. You know I like with me.
Yes, I do. And again, I didn't think he was reading
the messages because it was coming up. So I was like, oh, he ain't going to see this until the next
week.
You
break. Know what?
I'll tell you now.
I wasn't on the screen at first because I was making sure my song was cute. And I just went to the chat room and I saw that. I was like, oh,
okay.
Yeah, let me go ahead and say something about that.
See, what he thought he had was some type of exclusive. Because, you know, it's funny. People do ask me, you know, when I talk about how I'm in love and all that kind of stuff. They have asked me if it's Morris. And I'll just say I can either confirm nor deny.
Yeah,
you can say you're in love. You ain't got to tell them who you in love with. Everybody want to know everybody's business. Just know that you in love, and the love that you feel has resonated onto a record so that they can feel that love and go ahead and convey it to who they want to. Just put it that way.
I like the way you work.
Preach. You better preach.
But that's how you do it. I mean, we ain't got to know who you loving. Just the fact that you in love and everything is good and everything is so good to you, it makes you say, ooh. I mean, you should be happy. She's in love. But
so good to me. Got me feeling some kind of way.
Yes. This first stop now titles. That works for me all the time. It's just, I'm like, don't you know? You know, you make me say, yeah.
I'm going to have you saying, ooh, here in a minute.
Girl. Look, this is a wonderful show. I'm going to try and keep it.
So tell me, how often do you guys get to perform that together?
Not enough.
We only did it once, and that was at the Compound Grill. And when I tell you, singing that song, when he read me the lyrics, and I'm a writer myself. So I'm a great appreciator of other people who write. And when I read the lyric, I'm like, you've been holding on to this for this long? Are you serious? Like, this is a wedding song. This is a song, not only
that
a wedding
song.
That
is a wedding song.
It's a song that speaks in simplicity about how someone makes you feel.
Yeah.
About what they give to you. And we too busy hearing about people talking about the neighbors know my name and all this crazy stuff. And it's just like, before you can even get to that, you need to know what love is before you even get to that part.
Right. What happened to courtship? What happened to,
you
know, like the old days where,
you know,
happened
to I like you, you like me, check yes or no?
I have
exactly.
my opinion on that. I have my opinion on that. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying before about artists beefing. If you notice, like, even R&B now tends to mirror the same path that hip-hop takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like before where there was a clear, you know, division between R&B, soul or whatever, and hip-hop. But now it's like, you know, everything mirrors hip-hop, at least, you know, through the eyes of this music that's coming out now. And,
right.
and I think with that comes all the mentality. I mean, so it's like now, you know, you got a beef, like there's got to be a beef between, you know, Beyonce and whoever. Or, you know, it's like it's not even necessary. I mean, it wasn't necessary in rap, but it served a purpose. It serves no purpose outside of rap. So, like, what are you doing it for?
But when they did it in rap, they did it for camaraderie. They did it to
right.
show skill. They did it to, you know, display the talent that they had. And at the end of the day, once it was done, you know, whoever won, it was done, and they squashed, and they were good to go. It was good. It made your words better. It made you sharper. It made you faster. It made you, you know, quick on your feet when it comes to your lyrical skill. It wasn't
yeah.
about leaving out of the studio and I'm going to shoot you. Really?
Right.
Really? Because I got the best of you on wax.
Right.
And yeah,
yeah,
I know. And it's,
but you know what?
The artist, yeah.
You know, like, I could say a lot more about that. I'll just say that, you know, like that mentality to me is a coward mentality, because it's like you can't even, you know, you can't even, you know, suck it up enough to just accept the fact that somebody beat you. I mean, it's just like,
right.
you know, oh, I cannot believe he said that to me, or, you know, whatever. I'm so disrespected. It's like, dude, like, get over it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, well, when somebody's ego, you know, some people, they breathe off of, I guess, whatever they feed off their ego. And sometimes, you know, if somebody, like I was saying earlier, if somebody says something about me that, you know, it's critical or whatever, okay, that's cool. I'm not, you know, I'm not gonna go to my trunk and try to, you know, intimidate someone that gave me a review that didn't agree with me or whatever the case is. But, you know, I think that if we were to, we were collectively to go back to the days of when, you know, when music was real, when we had just like the duet, you know, when you go back to Billy Preston and was it Syreeta and you know, the different duets that came out years ago, Donnie and Roberta, and, you know, things that were real, as opposed to like now there's all these features, and, you know, like you were talking about hip hop, there's a lot of artists that have. They have R&B singers, or they have these duets that happen, and to me, it's just, there's no substance to it, and that's really what it boils down to, and I think that that's one of the things that Morris and I are really trying to accomplish is, you know, to put music out there that actually says something, that actually means something, and inspires you to do something other than, I mean, don't get me wrong, Say Ooh has a place, but, you know, there's other songs on my record that are also a little more, that require thought. You know,
right.
And, so that, you know, that's what I feel like that's what my contribution is going to be to this whole thing when it's all said and done.
Exactly.
Yeah, you said it better. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yes.
Pull out the offering plate on that one. Yeah.
The doors of the church are now open.
Yes.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, before I let you guys go, I want to, one, of course, I want to thank you guys, you know, for, you know, just being here, because, I mean, any opportunity that I have to, you know, share artistry like this with the world, like, I feel honored, because, you know, I'll say this, I sing, but I can't sing, so I just do it anyway. I won't ever make a career out of it, but I feel like this is how I give, because,
yeah.
you know, I wish I could sing, but, you know, this is how I give. And so I always feel, you know, I always feel honored, you know, and, you know, times like this, I won't ever forget, you know, no matter how far this goes for me career-wise, like, I won't ever forget, because this is, to me, this is what it's about. these moments when you can, you know, sit back and get to the bottom of situations. I mean, and a lot of times, you know, like, it seems, you know, most interviews seem rather short, so you don't really get a chance to, like, really discuss things. It's just kind of, you know, cookie cutter. Okay, you know, how'd you do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you know, I'll see you later. But when you get a chance to really sit down and talk with somebody and see what they're about, I mean, it's worth it to me. And, you know, that's why I do it. So I thank you for
well,
allowing me.
Well, we definitely appreciate your support. Yeah,
yeah,
we appreciate
your support
because, you know, without shows like yours, you know, some of our music may not have been heard, you know. And we just appreciate the fact that, you know, you seek out. You sought us out last year, and you put us out there. And, you know, I'm just so full because, you know, if somebody had told me, probably, I don't remember when we talked last, but if somebody had told me the kind of year that I was going to have with that album, I would have been like, yeah, you're crazy. But because of people like you, you know, I actually had an amazing year and, you know, was very supported. And, you know, I can't thank you enough. So.
No problem. I want to give you guys a chance to, you know, put anything out there that you may have, like, you know, any performances coming up, anything that you want to put out there. And that's how we'll end it.
Go ahead, Morris.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm currently in the studio finishing the last bit of touches on my first project, which is entitled The Love Sessions, actually. Various producers. That'll be dropping either the end of September or beginning of October. And keep an eye out. There will be a concert as well. To unveil all the music as well, and you know, trying to, you know, get some gigs together, some things going. But I want to be really not selective, but just get it out there in a way to where it's the message is hitting about love. I'm not going to talk about love the way we see it now. I want to talk about love the way I know that it should be, and that's
right.
The whole premise of this
right.
album. And I also have a Christmas album that's going to be dropping as well. It's called The Spirit of Christmas. So we got two projects dropping, and, you know, whatever Terry's doing, so good to me, in stores now, CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, Rhapsody, I don't care where you go, just put Terry. If you can't find her, Google her. You'll find her.
Google.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess there's no need for me to do my own. Do my
say
own
it again, say it again. It sounds better when it's from you. Go ahead.
No, but honestly, as far as shows that are coming up, you know, I have some dates that are pending right now, California, Texas, looking at Atlanta again. And I'm looking to go back to your neck of the woods. I'm trying to go back to Baltimore, D.C. area, and back to New York. So stay tuned for that. And like you said, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Terry's Hoping It's Here. Music, of course, is on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. You can buy my music directly from my Facebook page, which is, you know, a great feature now. So, I mean, I'm, you know, and also you can go to YouTube. There's some footage there from shows if you haven't had a chance to see me live. There's some footage out there. So.
Yeah, can I get that on there, too?
What did you say?
I said, can I get that? It's on there, too. Live from Tucson.
Yes.
I need to see
yes.
that.
You need
Dwayne,
to see
have
that.
You seen that yet?
No, I have not. I have
okay.
not.
I need you to bless your soul and go right to YouTube and look up Can I Get That?
As soon as I get off the air, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that's how I feel about that song. So,
Morris, do not encourage him. Oh, my gosh.
But the thing is, I wouldn't encourage it if it wasn't good. She got, like, two different versions of that, and they're pillow throwing at the screen inducing version. So I need you to make sure there's nothing in vicinity of you to throw.
Oh, so you weren't even going to tell me that, Terry? You weren't going to tell me that, right?
No, she wasn't going to tell
me. That's terrible. Yeah.
No, see, I got you, though. Dwayne, I got you. I got you. I'm telling you, go on YouTube, you will be blessed. Beyond measure with these performances. Terry is incredible live. That was the one thing I did take away from the Compound Girl. She was incredible live. She's one of those performers to where she make you laugh, she make you cry. It's not just let me sing, hear what I can do, and sit down. She's really engaging you, and she's bringing you back to the days when Luther would get up on stage and entertain you, but you walked away with something great, as well as great music, a great message. So, that, I mean, that's what you. I wish you would do more stuff here, because people need to see that, and you need to see that kind of artistry.
Well, we're working on that. I'm definitely going to be calling you about that soon, actually.
Holla.
All right, so this is what I want y'all to do, because now I'm a little confused. I can play Can I Get That, or I can play Love Me. I'll let you guys decide. Love Me?
Love Me, it is the if you're listening, people, it is the new single off of the album So Good to Me by Terry Tobin. Love Me, Love Me, Love Me. You need to go cop that. Just get the whole album.
That's right. Oh, and definitely, Morris, when your album drops, I definitely want to have you back so that we could talk about that.
We will definitely converse. I'm getting some stuff together for you right now to send to you. I'll get your information so I can get that to you as soon as possible so you can have something to play.
Cool. All right, folks. Well, you know, you guys have a great one, and I know you guys out there on the West Coast, so your night isn't over yet.
Not even.
Our night is just beginning.
Yes, indeed.
I'm jealous. I'm
oh gosh. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm blushing, but okay.
I'm gonna leave that alone too. I'm just gonna leave a lot of people alone.
I'm going to go put my Terry Tobin So Good to Me CD on. I will get me a little nice glass of wine. I'm going to enjoy myself for the rest of the evening. I suggest you do the same. Yes.
For sure. All right,
Dwayne. Well, it has been a pleasure as usual. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
Yes. Indeed. All right, folks. This is Love Me, as it was eloquently put off of the second CD. You guys check this out. Indeed, that is the very lovely Terry Tobin with Love Me. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. But, yes, before we get out of here, I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening tonight. If you are listening via the archives, as always, I welcome you to join us live each and every Friday right here on the Flavor News Radio Network, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm going to give a shout-out to It's Me, Sweet Lady, who is hanging out with me in the chat room. Well, I think she's about to leave, but she did hang out with us tonight here in the chat room. And I want to thank Morris Allen, who popped in to the chat room, and then I brought him onto the line to, you know, join in the fun. And that was great. Next week, I have a young brother by the name of Drew Schultz who will be hanging out with me. He is the drummer for the Four Tops, and he released he's releasing a project on his own, and he sent me a single, which is actually has the Four Tops singing on it, but it's his track, and it's really nice, and I'm gonna make sure you guys get to hear that, and we get to hear about him, and you know I'm gonna ask about, you know, working with the Four Tops, because it's the Four Tops. Like, you know, if you know anything about classic soul, you know about the Four Tops. So that's how we're going to do it. And, yeah, that being said, let me see. How can I get this last set off? I might go into to overtime a little bit. That depends on, you know, how this plays out. But, let's see. You know what? I'm going to throw some classic stuff out there. I'm going to grab some stuff out of the vaults. Here, check this out.
I just can't understand, for the life of me, what I see in you. Yet every time you talk of leaving me, I get so shook up, I don't know what to do. Oh, oh baby,
I guess you got your
behind your back, I tell my friends I'm leaving you. Oh. And when you question me about it, baby, I swear what they're saying just ain't true. No, no. I'll be going around telling all my friends that I'm leaving. No, and I ain't never going nowhere. No, no. I said, woman, I said, woman, the way you love me, the way you love me, I feel like I need. I want, got to have it all. You got me. 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 You got me.
Thank you.